Hello, and welcome to our Teletown Hall. It's Mayor Patrick Brown here, and I want to invite you to our first ever Recreation Town Hall. I'm joined by senior members of our Recreation Community Services staff, including our Commissioner Bill Boyce, the Chair of our Community Services Committee, Councillor Santos, Councillor Rod Power, Councillor Navjeet Kaur Brar, and I know we've got other councillors who will be joining the call tonight too. Modern technology is an incredible thing. We've done town halls over the last number of years on everything from the city budget to policing and community safety. During the COVID-19 pandemic, we had calls with the hospital senior leadership and our public health, a medical officer of public health in Peel Region. But we thought this time we'd do a town hall on recreation. This is a city that loves sports, that loves recreation, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to help shape it. We're making record investments in recreation on the premise that we want to encourage an active, healthy city. I'm a big believer that if you have an active city, it's a healthy city. It's preventative healthcare 101. So we're going to ask you a lot of questions tonight to get feedback on where we should be spending our recreation funds to make sure it's in line with what you love. If you want to ask questions tonight, please just press star 3 and you'll be put in the queue. So just to start on a high level, one of the reasons we're having this town hall in June is it's actually Recreation and Parks Month in June. It's also Seniors Month. And, you know, looking at the totality of investments in the city, there's a lot of exciting things happening on recreation. You know, earlier this year, we opened the new Sandalwood Park outdoor rinks, two NHL-sized outdoor rinks that were really heavily used, and I can't wait for more outdoor rinks to be used by residents across the city. We opened the Atiba Hutchinson box soccer court. That was in 2024, and it's for fast-paced drop-in play named after Canada's soccer captain from the last World Cup, who actually happens to come from Brampton. Well, then again, I think half the team comes from Brampton. We're moving forward with the Chris Gibson Recreation Center revitalization. That old, dilapidated recreation center needed some tender, loving care, and I'm happy to say that the new ice pad and gymnasium should be ready for late 2026. To meet the growing demand for cricket, we actually have invested in Canada's first domed cricket facility, and that's going to be at Earnscliffe. So I know cricket's tough to play in January in Canada when there's lots of snow. Well, for the first time, you'll be able to play cricket indoors. And I know that is going to be open for this year. So for the first winter ever, we'll have cricket indoor. We're also opening a year-round facility for field hockey at Cassie Campbell. So if you love field hockey, we're going to have indoor amenities too. And we've really looked at how to maintain as much recreation opportunities during the colder months, because as much as it's beautiful out right now in June, in Canada we know that some of our winter months it's tough to stay fit and active and healthy, and so we're trying to bring online more outdoor recreational amenities or indoor ones so you can continue your passions in the winter. We're also investing in our existing facilities with projects like the Vic Park Arena, and that was obviously offline because of a fire. And this council took the decision not to let it go, but to save it and to make sure it can continue to be used for recreation for years to come. And that is well underway. If you drive by the site, you'll see that the structure is up, and hopefully we're going to have sports being played in there very soon. And looking ahead, you know, credit to Councillor Power, he has been very determined to make sure we build the new Howden Recreation Center, and that will be proceeding later this year, a major investment in Ward 7 and 8. And thank you to Councillor Pileschi and Brar, who have been passionate advocates for the new Embleton Community Center, which will be the largest new community center in the city of Brampton, and that construction goes underway this summer. So these are new modern spaces with great recreation for families to enjoy. I also want to note that we're working to make sure we have accessible sports as well. Working with the Blue Jays Foundation, Jays Care, we have a Field of Dreams accessible baseball facility in Brampton, a fully barrier-free space that allows players of all abilities to participate and enjoy the game with their families and community. And we're going to look to do more of that. We've also invested in the Brampton-Orangeville Rail Trail. This is a 58-kilometer trail, 14 kilometers in Brampton, and we salvaged an old rail line that was going to be sold off. Said we want to keep it for public use rather than private use, and now it's going to be a trail for running, cycling, walking. It's pretty exciting. It really connects all the way up to Orangeville, down to Port Credit. It's going to be one of the best trails in the province, and that revitalization, that protection of that rail line is happening now as we speak. It's going to connect a lot of trails. On a closing note, I also want to note, we want to make sure that recreation is for everyone. It's why we became the first city in Canada to bring in free recreation for seniors. So no matter your age, we want to make sure it's easy to stay active. And we also have funds to support those families that are challenged financially. And so no matter your means, we want to make sure, no matter your age, no matter what sport you love, we want to make sure there's something for everyone in Brampton. And tonight's call is about making sure we meet your aspirations for recreation. I'm going to pass the moderating duties. I'm passing the microphone over to Councillor Santos, who has been a spectacular chair of community services for the city of Brampton, and she's going to share a few other updates before we go to the phone lines and get your feedback and ask our poll questions. And be prepared, we've got a lot of poll questions to ask you tonight on some issues that we're looking at for the city of Brampton.
Well, thank you so much, Mayor Brown. It's Rowetta Santos here, Regional Councillor, Wards 1 and 5, and Chair of Community Services. Brampton leads with an extensive and inclusive range of programs and services designed to serve its diverse and growing community. Recreation offers registered and drop-in fitness and wellness programs, youth leadership and after-school programs, older adults and seniors programming, camps, community events, and many more cultural and recreational programs. Our parks and recreation system is a cornerstone of community life in Brampton, and we all know it. It helps build healthy, active, and connected neighborhoods across one of Canada's fastest growing big cities, creating spaces where residents can come together, stay active, and strengthen community bonds. Residents have access to 36 community centers, senior centers, arenas, halls, and recreation facilities located throughout the city. These amenities are complemented by an extensive network of 875 parks, 348 playgrounds, and 335 outdoor sports fields that serve families and residents in every corner of Brampton. We want to keep our residents active and healthy. A key priority for the city is ensuring recreation remains accessible and inclusive for residents of all ages, abilities, and backgrounds. Through programs such as Active Assist and a broad range of inclusive recreation opportunities, we are working to reduce financial and systemic barriers to participation so that everyone has the opportunity to stay active, engaged, and connected. Recreation is about more than facilities and programs. It's about building community, supporting well-being, and creating opportunities for residents to thrive. And I have to say that most recently, the city of Brampton was ranked in the top 10 healthiest cities in Canada based on the Healthy City Index 2026. So Brampton's investments in parks and recreation and programming, supporting seniors and youth and different abilities and residents across the board has helped to make Brampton within the top 10 healthiest cities in our country. And on that note, I want to say thank you to everyone who's joined us this evening to discuss recreation services at the City of Brampton. Your engagement helps us continue building a stronger, healthier, and more connected city for all. And before I go to the first polling question, Mayor Brown, just a reminder that if you would like to ask a question at any point tonight, please press *3 on your phone. That's *3. Which brings us to the first polling question. Do you support the city's free recreation programs for seniors? And we have six polling questions tonight, FYI. This is #1. Again, do you support the city's free recreation programs for seniors? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, press 3 for unsure. Again, the question is, do you support the city's free recreation program for seniors? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no, and 3 for unsure. Thank you so much, and we're going to share the polling results once they are available.
So we see these results coming in fast and furious, and it looks like 92% of the city say yes to free recreation for seniors, 4% say no, and 4% unsure. So this sounds like a program that is very popular in the city that is worth continuation. Let's jump to some of the calls. We've got a ton of calls on the line right now. Our first call is from Michael. Michael, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Michael, the floor is yours.
Oh, it was just a brief question about one of the growing recreational activities called pickleball. I was curious to know what are existing facilities and what are the plans for both indoor and outdoor to cover off the different seasons here that we have to survive through in Canada here.
Well, I have to agree with you. I've heard about a passion for pickleball and paddle. I keep on hearing about people who are falling in love with it. So we've got a ton coming your way on pickle and paddle, and I'm going to ask our Commissioner of Community Services, Bill Boyce, to share an update.
Perfect. Thank you.
And thank you, Michael, for your question. We see the explosive growth of pickleball, and as the Mayor mentioned, paddle as well. And we have some exciting news at Gore Meadows, the new community park, where we're going to be adding 6 outdoor pickleball courts, but also 6 indoor pickleball courts, along with 2 paddle courts that will be available year-round for community use. I know, speaking with our director of parks, we are adding multiple pickleball courts per year. I think we are at around 20 right now in the city. We've added a number over the past year, Centennial Park, Calvert Park, a number of places throughout the city because we are having that explosive demand. And one of the great things that I know Mayor and Council have supported is not only putting pickleball in, but also tennis and having dedicated courts for both pickleball and tennis, because we know those lines get confusing sometimes. So there's been an explosive growth, a lot of demand, and I know that the city and our community services team has been really focused on building a lot of pickleball courts to meet that demand, and I think there's going to be more growth in the coming years throughout the rest of the city.
So our next question is another Mike. A question about Riverstone Community Center.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. So when Riverstone Golf Course was purchased by the city, it came to the community center as well as a parking lot across the street. I understand that was supposed to be a tennis court when it was part of the golf course, but now it's part of the city, but it's still just an empty parking lot. So can this be converted into a tennis court as well?
That's a great suggestion, Mike, and as you know, that golf course was going to be sold off for more housing, and the city said, no, we want to protect this green space and keep it for recreation. And so we actually took the unusual step to intervene and purchase the property. And obviously, we've opened the Riverstone Community Center, but additional amenities on that space I think would be welcome. And I'll speak to your local councillors about something maybe that we can look at in the next city budget. As someone that loves tennis myself, I see that a lot of our tennis facilities in the city are very busy, and so I'm sure if we had one there, it would be busy as well. And I see our commissioner wanted to mention something.
Yeah, and thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the question as well. And I think that's one of the great things about tonight's town hall is we get these good ideas. And I know, speaking with our director of recreation, we are looking at how can we make things like parking lots that may not be used at certain times transfer into usable recreation amenities. So this is a good suggestion, something that we'll take back because, as the Mayor said, tennis is really growing. We are refurbishing tennis courts across the city. We're doing about 5 or 6 different locations right now, which have more than 10 actual courts in them. So it is a big project that by the end of this year, you're going to see a number of tennis courts refurbished across the city. So we'll take that suggestion back tonight, and we appreciate the call. Thank you.
Our next question is Vanna Kim. Vanna has a question about Babington.
Yes, is Vanna here?
Vanna, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for giving me opportunity to ask question.
Go ahead.
The question,
the
question is, why they changed the Tuesday night badminton program, drop-in program to the very, very late night, 8:10 p.m. to 9:40, And the capacity of the player is still 24 player rather than increase to 30 because a lot of people book 2-3 sessions for drop-in, but they're not really play up to their register 2-3 sessions. So we always ended up at the end is nobody there to play with, but there's space available. But before the session start, it's always full. We mentioned this to the programmer at the center, and they doesn't seem to be able to do anything about it.
Okay, so that's good feedback, and I'm going to pass it to our commissioner to respond to that.
Thank you, Vanna, for the question. And one thing, too, after this is we'll reach out and connect with you directly, but I know that the team introduced the 8 p.m. time to try to balance the gym demand across all programs, and we're trying to keep it at 24 people to maintain a safe an adequate playing space. But again, we're always open to suggestions. We do have your name and number here, and I will make sure that our team follows up with you to maybe look at ways to enhance the playing of badminton in that facility and other facilities too to help meet the demand. So thank you for the question.
Thank you, Vanna. Our next question is Lada. Lada, the floor is yours. Can you hear us, Lada?
Is it Nada? Or Lada?
Well, it's you. So.
Oh, but it's Nada, N-A-D-A.
Okay. Thank you, Nada.
No problem. I have a question just in regards to special needs children and adults. You didn't mention anything about any programs for them that's been available or going to be available. So I was just wondering if you have anything that would be done for these children or adults.
So I'm going to ask Commissioner Boyce to speak about our ADAPT program, which is I think something you may take an interest in. So Commissioner Boyce?
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor Brown. Thank you for the question. So the ADAPT program is adults developing and participating together, and it's for teens and adults, which is at the Paul Pelleschi Recreation Center, kind of the northwest part of the city. Focuses on life skills, fitness, social recreation programs. It's supported drop-in and multi-sensory programs as well, and these provide opportunities for continued recreation, social connection, and skill development throughout the year. So we do have a great program at Paul Pelleschi. I highly encourage you to look up, if you Google ADAPT Brampton, that program will come up. And if you have any questions at all, please reach out to our recreation team and we'll be happy to support you.
Okay, and we'll look at more opportunities for that type of programming. I'm going to ask Councillor Santos now to read out the second poll question.
All right, everyone. So the second poll question this evening is, the city offers the Active Assist Program for families facing financing challenges. This program is up to $275 for each eligible member of the family. Should this program only be offered to children and youth? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no, 3 for unsure. Again, the question is, the city offers the Active Assist Program for families facing financial challenges. This is up to $275 for each eligible member of the family. Should this program only be offered to children and youth? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no, and press 3 for unsure. Thanks so much, and we will share the results of this poll once they are available. Mayor Brown, back to you.
Yeah, and the reason we ask questions like this is this is an example of an area that was oversubscribed, and the question now becomes, do we keep it only for children and youth, or maintain it as it is for adults and kids? You know, where can we make the maximum impact in helping as many people as possible? And so that feedback is important to us, and we look forward to the results as they come in. Thank you for your participation. We're going to go back to the questions. Our next question is from Polly. Polly, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine. Hi. My question is about regulating the pickleball as far as when you have beginner programs, only allowing beginners to participate. I signed up for pickleball. I was a beginner. I was unable to play because all of the people playing were very experienced. They, before the game started, they were on their phones booking for the next opening session. It didn't matter that it was beginners. I think it needs to be regulated so that beginners are getting the opportunity to play and learn and not work with people who are have had years of experience.
That's a great feedback, and we're going to pass that on to the staff that administer those programs to make sure that we have people of the right abilities signing up for the right programs. Thank you for sharing that, and I hope very soon, Polly, that you're going to be complaining that you're no longer a beginner and that you're now one of those pros. So keep up the great participation. Our next question is for Jas Mahal. Jas, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks for participating.
No, thank you for having the town halls. I really do appreciate it. And I'm in Ward 5, and Rowena is my counselor. And I have to say, they always are great at getting back to me when I email with concerns. So I want to thank you for that.
Thanks, Jess.
No worries. So my question was just in regards to senior programs. I have parents who are in their 80s, and I'm trying to get them to be more active in the sense, but sometimes getting to a program is difficult for them, so I will take them to programs, but I've noticed that a lot of the programs for seniors, like Bob Callahan Flower City has a senior center, and so does Knightsbridge has a senior center, but is there an opportunity to look to giving more sort of programs for seniors at other rec centers?
Yeah, I think we're consistently looking at ways to expand seniors' programming. During the weekdays, we offer free rentals for senior groups that run programming. We have 16,884 seniors currently signed up for our free memberships. We have programming balance and flexibility, group fitness, 55-plus, technology help desk for computer and devices, 55-plus. Free workshops such as the summer garden care, pickleball drop-in sessions for seniors, watercolor painting drop-ins for seniors. And so we're going to look at more and more opportunities for seniors to participate in our city.
And I just have to add that, Jazz, there are so many, 180 is it, or is it quite a number of seniors clubs, active senior clubs in the city of Brampton that we support through community services. And they also provide additional programming through their clubs because they have access to free space, inter-community centers and recreation centers during the week and during the day when our recreation centers are not as heavily utilized. So our seniors are in there in the seniors clubs doing incredible stuff. All of that is free for various members who want to join different seniors clubs.
Okay, we can jump to our next question. Fred Fred has a question about hockey. Fred Calverdera, if we could pull him up. If we've got Fred.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you, Fred.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, years ago, I had four kids in hockey, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't cost me an arm and a leg to play. How come Brampton hockey now is a business that costs kids so much money to play hockey?
Well, Fred, thanks for raising this question. And impressive that you got four kids in organized hockey. That's not an easy feat. I've got one son playing hockey right now, and that keeps me busy. I can't even imagine four. What I would say is I hear you. You know, I would say our candidates, Brampton Hockey, they're not for profits, but the cost of hockey is expensive, equipment, registration, ice time, and it's why we've been looking at ways to make it more affordable. And a few things we're doing. One, there's a former Maple Leaf, Phil Reskovich, who is actually from Heart Lake, and we hired him to offer free clinics, teach kids for free. And they have drop-in times, I think, five times a week right now, for different age groups across the city, and you can learn for free. I'd also note that we've been opening more and more outdoor rinks. You know, when I grew up, I fell in love playing hockey outdoors, but our weathers are more mild, and we have been unable to really maintain ice in the winter, and so the city has invested in these outdoor rinks that have glycol underneath that keeps it frozen, even if the temperature is mild. And so these new outdoor rinks opening up across the city are drop-in, and they're free, another opportunity to participate easily. In terms of the cost of joining teams, I know that is a barrier, I'm here to help, and I know a lot of the clubs do fundraising to make sure that everyone can afford. But I appreciate you raising this because I do want to make sure that people, regardless of income, are able to play whatever sport they love. And if hockey is a sport you love, we want to make it easy to play in Brampton. I would note I've heard that this year and last year registration has gone up, which is a really encouraging sign because for years it was declining. And I think some of the investments we've made have really changed the trajectory.
Thanks, Mayor Brown. Just a note, Fred, too, and for any kids that may be listening, this summer, our coach, Phil, who used to play in the NHL for Toronto Maple Leafs, as the mayor mentioned, offers summer hockey-related training, whether it's dry land, on-ice, ball hockey, which then transitions in the fall and winter months to on-ice sessions. We had over 1,500 kids participate last year. We were adding more staff to help support Phil to run these programs because they are filling up quickly. So we highly encourage any Brampton kids that are out there listening, you want to develop and hone your hockey skills with an NHL player, come join Coach Phil's program. It's the Outdoor Hockey Development Program. You can find it online under the City of Brampton Recreation homepage. Please check it out. It's a great opportunity.
I'm going to ask Councillor Santos to do our next poll question, and this is a very important one. We want to know where you believe additional investments are needed. And so for everyone listening, please participate in this poll question. It's an important one. Over to Councillor Santos. Drum roll.
Drum roll. Okay, question number three. Which sport would you like to see new investments in? What is your top priority? Again, which sport would you like to see new investments in, and what is your top priority? Press 1 for hockey. Press 2 for soccer. 3 for basketball. 4 for baseball. 5 for cricket. 6 for lacrosse. 7 for pickleball, paddleball, and tennis, 8 for golf, and 9 for volleyball. Again, the question is, which sport would you like to see new investments in? 1 for hockey, 2 for soccer, 3 for baseball, 3 for basketball, 4 for baseball, 5 for cricket, 6 for lacrosse, 7 for pickleball, paddleball, and tennis, 8 for golf, and 9 for volleyball.
You know, part of me wishes there was an option, all of the above, because I love being a city that supports all sports. We're going to share the results. We've got them coming in for this question. And the results are, for new investments, 13% for hockey, 20% for soccer, 14% for basketball, 8% for baseball, 9% for cricket, 5% for lacrosse, 22% for pickleball, paddle, and tennis, 9% for golf, 5% for volleyball. And so that these votes are still coming in, and so the numbers are changing. But it looks like the number one area requested for investment is pickleball, paddle, and tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is soccer. So that's really, really interesting. I appreciate all the feedback. That helps inform where we put new programming in facilities and in parks. We're going to get the results from the previous poll question. It just came off the screen, but we'll have that shortly. In the meantime, we're going to go back to some questions. We've got a question from Mike about baseball.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
I was more wondering about the BMBI program. It's like a grassroots program, but I noticed that they did lose their training facility, which a lot of the kids and the rep teams play in the off-season, obviously because of winter. But I know they're having trouble relocating it. Did the city step in, or are they kind of helping them acquire a new facility or anything in that regards?
So thank you for that question. Councillor Power, who's here, has been working with the organization. That was a private facility. Ever since that historic run last fall with the Blue Jays, I'm seeing a real resurgence in interest in baseball. And where we saw, declining rentals of our field, that something's changing. I think a new generation was inspired in baseball, and we want to make sure that locations like that and opportunities like that are salvaged. We're also working on a partnership with Jays Care and the Blue Jays to really bring baseball to more residents. So stay tuned about that. We had our first event last year with them. We're going to have a lot more to make sure that every resident who wants to play baseball can. But Councillor Power, why don't you share with us what you're working on in terms of baseball? And you're doing this on your own volition. I really appreciate Councillor Power again and again really steps up to help causes that he cares about. And this is one that he's rallying behind.
Thanks, Mayor Brown. In terms of BMBI, we've got a couple of things on the go. Very shortly, we'll be unveiling a home of the Royals baseball facility, which will be a special park just for them, completely outfitted. That makes it look like a lot of the higher-end parks across the GTA. But we've also almost close to securing a new location for BMBI or Upper Deck. We won't unveil it yet, but it's in the works, and it's about to come through for August when they start going back indoors.
Great. Over to Commissioner Boyce.
Thank you very much for the question, and thanks, Mayor Brown. One exciting thing that you're going to see later this year open up is the Cassie Campbell Dome, which is primarily for field hockey, but inside that is a number of batting cages and a space to do some fielding practice. So that's going to be open year-round. Dome facility later this year, there'll be increased access for baseball practice. So really cool.
Exciting. And I should mention, last year for our inaugural baseball day in Brampton, we had some former Blue Jays come and participate, and we gave out gloves to everyone that wanted to learn and take some tips. I've been promised from the Blue Jays we're going to have some notables, some former Jays come out to Brampton again this year to teach drills. So stay tuned for that announcement in the near future. Just want to share with you the results from the second poll question. It went off our screen briefly. And the question was almost dead set. Yes to having the active assist program only for kids, and 39% no for opening up for adults too. Unsure 23%. So that's really 50-50 on whether that program should be geared only towards kids. Thank you for that feedback. We're going to go back to the phone lines, and we've got a question from Deb.
Hello, this is Deb.
Yeah, you've got the floor.
Oh, great stuff. Well, thank you, Mayor Brown. Thank you, councillors, for having these types of town hall meetings. I think it's fantastic. I don't have a question. I know there's a whole lot of people in queue. All I want to do is say a shout out to Bob Callahan Senior Center. I recently had to enroll my 86-year-old aunt, and I've seen such a major change in her going there and taking all the different programs, coming back and raving about how great it was, how great the people were. So thank you very much. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep listening to the people. That's all we ask. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that advice. And that's why we have these teletown halls. Most people have one boss. I have, and Councillor Santos and Councillor Power, we have 900,000 bosses, the residents of Brampton, and that's why we have these town halls on a regular basis, to get that feedback, to make sure we listen. I had a friend who told me, God gave you two ears and one mouth, listen more than you talk. And that's what these town halls, that's the basis behind it. So we're going to go to our next question. Elizabeth, a question about pools.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for calling in, Elizabeth.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I was concerned about the pool. We don't have outdoor pool out of Susan Fennell's area, the community center there. And all the time, summertime, everybody has to go in and come out. And I'm concerned, when are you guys going to do something for outdoor pools?
Well, that's a great question, Elizabeth, and it actually happens to be our next poll question. One area that we've been looking at is about whether Brampton should expand to have outdoor pools. Right now we've got an outdoor pool near El Dorado Park, But if you compare it to the city of Toronto, where they have 50 outdoor pools, or Mississauga that has 7 outdoor pools, this is an area, I'd say in almost every area in recreation, we exceed what other cities have. One area that we don't is outdoor pools. And not everyone can have a pool in their backyard, and we want to make sure that recreation amenities are available for everyone. And the outdoor pools in Toronto are very popular, and it's why we're looking at this. And I'd love to get everyone's feedback on this tonight. Should we invest in opening up some outdoor pools in the city of Brampton? Councillor Santos is going to read the poll question.
All right. The question is, question number 4, would you like to see additional outdoor pools in Brampton for public use like the city of Toronto has? So would you like to see additional outdoor pools in Brampton for public use just like the city of Toronto has? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Again, the question is, would you like to see additional outdoor pools in Brampton for public use? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no.
And just to let you know, Eldorado Pool, which is a little bit hidden, but it's next to Eldorado Park, it doesn't open this Saturday, but the following Saturday. So that will be open for the summer for those that want to use it. We're getting results coming in pretty fast here in real time on the pool question. 72% of the city say yes, they want to see investments in outdoor pools, and 28% say no. So thank you for that feedback. And frankly, you know, I think we could do more swimming lessons too, and so if we had outdoor pools. I know that's an issue that we take seriously in Brampton to make sure everyone knows how to swim. We have a lot of newcomers that really use that programming, and this could be a great location to do it in the summer months. Okay, let's get back to the calls. Our next call is from Sweta. Sweta, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for having me on the call this evening. My question is if there would ever be a consideration made with the including the drop-in programs as part of the recreation memberships. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to refer that to Commissioner Boyce.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much for the question. And we appreciate the suggestion. Right now, it is the drop-ins are very popular. They are on a per-visit, pay-per-visit basis. But again, the reason for this town hall is to get suggestions, to get ideas. We will take that back and see if there's elements or programs that could be considered to be included. Just for awareness, too, the 65-plus free recreation membership includes sports drop-ins and the Explore Brampton Youth Pass. So if you're a teen this summer and you're looking to get free transit and some free recreation access, look up the Explore Brampton Youth Pass, and you will have some access to drop-in programs for eligible youth in that program. So I encourage everyone to check that out if you're about to finish school and looking for something fun to do this summer.
Okay, our next question is from Linda. Linda,
hello.
Can you hear me?
Yep, hello. I was wondering if there was a possible way that for registrations, especially like for swimming lessons, can we go like back to like the old system where you can register at the actual recreation centers? Because the 6 o'clock a.m., I can never get in. I get up there and I have like 3 different devices going, and I can never get in.
I've heard that same complaint from some neighbors, and even my own wife complained about that process. I know the time's been adjusted, but I'm going to ask Commissioner Boyce to speak to this about how we can make it an easier process.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Linda, for the question. And we are primarily online-based registration now, but we do offer in-person registration at our rec centers, and we do, as the mayor mentioned, we take into consideration feedback, and we heard that 6 a.m. was a little bit early, so we moved that to 7 a.m. to make it a little bit more palatable for everyone to register. But that in-person option does exist. It still gives you the same opportunity as people who are registering online. We just know there's such a demand for our recreation programs across the city that it's very competitive, and we keep striving to add more programs and more recreation. But we appreciate the question, and we recommend that if you don't feel comfortable going online, that there's still the option at 7 a.m. to enter into our rec centers to to access and register for those programs.
And I would just note, you know, we see where there's a lot of demand and there's a program that's really popular. The following year, we'll try to add to that program. And so really, your interests dictate, you know, the amount of spaces we open up in different areas. We're going to go to our next question, and it's Bill. Bill, you got a question about bowling.
Yes. A number of years ago, Brampton Avondale Bowling Queue closed down, and so did the bowling alley at the Brampton Mall. It has both 5 and 10 pin in it. That they're closed. This would help both seniors and children because you could have the youth bowling council doing the youth, and you could have the seniors program. The 10-pin balls are a little too heavy for some seniors, such as myself, and 5-pin is a lot easier to play.
Okay, well, thanks for that feedback. I would note I'm not an expert in bowling, but we love ideas like this. Councillor Power is a big fan of bowling, and he was mentioning there's 10-pin options but not 5-pin options, and so thank you for that suggestion, and you know we'll make note of this, whether there's opportunities to support bowling, and so thank you for raising this. Our next question is for Jackie Ramos.
Hello?
Yes, okay, we can hear you.
Hi. I'm not sure if I'm connected or not.
Yeah, you are connected. Welcome to the Teletown Hall.
Only because you said Ramos, that's not my name, so I wasn't sure who. That's okay. I'm calling in regards to, I'm inquiring with respect to pets and the parks. I'm experiencing a lot of animals urinating on my lawn, and, you know, I take a lot of pride in making sure my grass is green and well-maintained, and I'm a corner unit, so I have everybody and their dog peeing in the same spot, and right now I have, you know, the grass is yellow. The acid from the urine, I imagine, is just ruining it. So what can we do as homeowners, like, to prevent this? Is there a designated, can we have something more in place for animals and, you know, the parks? Where is this park that they can go to or have them, you know, unfortunately, yes, you have to take your dogs out for a walk and what have you, but in the same breath, they're never urinating on their lawn. It's always the neighbor's lawn. And I'm finding it very frustrating because I'm paying to keep my, to maintain my lawn, yet everybody's dog is peeing on my lawn.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear you have that experience. We do have a number of locations in the city that you can take pets to, and I'm going to have Commissioner Boyce speak to that.
Thank you for the question, and thanks, Mayor Brown. So pets, for awareness, are welcome in all city parks, provided they remain on a leash and owners clean up after them. Dogs may be only off-leash in designated leash-free areas in accordance with the city's animal services bylaw. Those leash-free parks include Bramley Limited in Ward 7-8, Camden Park, Chris Gibson, Dugan Park, Fletcher's Green, and White Spruce Park, off the top of my head, are some that you could definitely visit.
Well, I got to say, I'm glad we've had a recreation town hall. We have 4,729 households on the call. They've stayed on the call. A ton of feedback we're getting. And we've got a long list of people with questions. And so clearly this town hall has sparked a nerve of an area that everyone is interested in. And so I really appreciate all the feedback. We're going to continue taking these questions. I've got the next question is Louise O'Connor. Louise, can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Wonderful. Welcome to our Teletown Hall.
Thank you very much. I'm talking in, speaking in regard to Jim Archdeacon. I had to fight to get it to be a little bit warmer. It used to be a therapeutic pool. After COVID, it was not. So the same people that have been going there for the past 20 years is still coming, and we'd like it to be maintained as a little bit warmer than we than what the regular pools are. So some days it is and some days it's not, and I've already spoke to Paul Pelleschi's office, and he's replied to me that it will be maintained, but obviously it's not. My second question is, one of the seniors that used to live in the area has since moved because of a death in the family, and now she's having a hard time coming back in because she's got to come from Georgetown, and if there's no spot for her, she can't get in. So we'd like that to be altered, please.
Okay, thank you for that feedback. I see our commissioner nodding that we'll look into the temperature of that pool and about that staffing matter. So thank you for raising that. Just to say, we're getting a ton of feedback online that we're going to be taking into consideration. Maddie called in, actually online, said, can you create a season's pass for Professor's Lake for children? Great idea. We'll pass that on to the team. Charmaine asked about a canceled stroke exercise program from the province that was running in Brampton. We'll look into that program and if there's a way to get it back online. Sheila asked about having a stair climber similar to the escarpment in Hamilton. So we'll look at that. We don't have our own escarpment, but we have some hills. So let's see if there's a location suitable for that. A question from Peter Cortozola about a 50-meter competition for swimming. We also have questions about new recreation facilities. Actually, this is a question from Mark about new recreation facilities. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to bring in Councillor Power. Rod, come over here. Tell us about the new recreation center coming in for Howden. And after you, if Councillor Brar is ready, I want her to share what is planned for the new Embleton facility. So, Councillor Power, you're up first. And Councillor Brar, get ready.
Thanks, Mayor Brown. Howden is moving along, and I think it's very important that we bring back not only the Howden Rec Center to the area, but also include a 30,000-square-foot library to that facility to replace the one that we lost at the Civic Center. And as if you grew up in Bramley, as I did, you know that the library at the Civic Center was a staple, and it was the most used library for all different types of programming, and we're very happy for that to come back. As well as for Howden, we're going to have a double gymnasium, multipurpose rooms, outdoor basketball courts, and then there'll also be the YMCA child care center there. So get ready for it, because it's going to be quite the facility and a much-needed facility in the Bramley area where we've lost some resources, but we're getting them back.
I have to say that this was probably planned for a number of years down the road, but because of Councillor Power's relentless advocacy, it was added to the budget this year. So the RFP will be going out, and we're going to be getting that new rec center. So, Rod, your residents should feel very satisfied that you went to bat for them, and that was something that, like I said, wasn't planned, but you convinced everyone around the table to add the funds to expedite that. Councillor Brar, who gets to see the largest recreation investment in the city with the Embleton Community Centre, her and Councillor Plessy worked hard on this. Councillor Brar, are you still on the line, and do you want to share an update about what exciting features are coming to your ward?
Thank you, Mayor Brown. So excited. We do have the Embleton Community Center that represents the largest recreation investment, I think, in Brampton, and really is designed to serve residents of all ages and abilities for generations to come. And this new facility will include an 8-lane competitive lap pool for training, fitness, and aquatic programs, a leisure and teaching pool for swimming lessons, a triple gymnasium for sports and community programming, a large fitness center with cardio weight training, functional fitness areas, exercise studios, indoor walking track overlooking the recreation spaces, youth programs, community meeting rooms. We also have a child care facility on site, so you can drop off your younger ones while you take your older ones to a recreation program. And we'll also have outdoor amenities, including tennis courts, pickleball courts, multi-sport courts, plus a playground, a splash pad, pathways and trail connections for everyone to come. So I'm super excited to see this come to life, but definitely Mayor Brown will see this being completed in 2028.
If you want to ask a question, press star 3. And just going to share a bit of the feedback we've received online. A question about student athletes. They need more space to train for basketball. So we're sharing that with our staff. We also have a question about curling areas, additional curling areas in the city of Brampton. Here's a question from Fensco about, does recreation have a cost to taxpayers? Recreation does. It's a public good, and by and large, recreation is subsidized probably about 50%. You know, if we're going to have any recreation program in the city, the fee that is charged is only 50% of the cost, and that's pretty much across the board. Another question is about increased demand at the Cassie Campbell Community Center. We need more equipment there. We'll share that with staff. We also have a question, Huda. Huda wrote in, and we've got Fod wrote in, about Liberty Silver and some of her talent and whether she can be utilized. She is a globally recognized artist. And so I've heard Liberty Silver. She's performed at some city events, and I know she's performed at the Rose. Maybe there's more opportunities to have Liberty Silver show off her talent in the city of Brampton. Arthur Wong had a question about pickleball drop-in registration at Bob Callahan, and the capacity gets used up almost immediately. And so we'll look into that. So lots of feedback online. One about bocce, too, about the old bocce facility that was a school board asset on Gore Road that is now, I believe, in Caledon in terms of the bocce programming. So that's the online feedback, just to let you know that if you wrote us a question, it's not being overlooked. Let's get back to the questions. Next question is Amanda.
I have two quick things. Because it's two, I'll go really quick. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for taking the call. As a result of Riverstone closing early, them changing their hours, all programs were shifted 30 minutes earlier, which made it very difficult for participants to attend. A lot of people work downtown Toronto. Getting back to Brampton for a 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock class is really tough. 5:30 and 6:30 was tough enough. Now it's even more difficult. And participation is actually down. I actually made a class today, which was very stressful, and only half of the people are in the class. The other comment is a program like lane swimming should be maintained as lane swimming, as opposed to having people who are learning how to swim during lane swimming. It's just disruptive for the individuals who actually sign up for lane swim and have to navigate around people learning how to swim during that time. They should have perhaps a dedicated lane for people who want to use that time to learn how to swim. Thank you.
So great feedback. Our Commissioner of Recreation has been taking those notes down, and we'll share that with the Riverstone staff. Thank you for that feedback. You know, frankly, those that use the facilities know what works best and what doesn't work, and sorry that the change in timing didn't make sense, and so we'll have to revisit that. Commissioner Boyce?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor, and we appreciate that feedback on Riverstone. The one thing I want to do is we've been working to adjust our operating hours. One of the real positives that came out of last year's budget was what we did was align the building opening and the fitness center and the front desk hours, which actually increased fitness center hours by about 40 total over the city. So we recognize the pressure at Riverstone, and we will take that back and look into it. And we hear your feedback as well on the lane swimming versus the beginners that are using it. So thank you for your question.
Okay, we're going to go to our next poll question. And Councillor Santos is going to read that out.
All right, Mayor Brown, this is a polling question that I think you love, which is, do you support the expansion of outdoor rinks in Brampton for free public hockey and skating in the winter? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no, or 3 for maybe. Again, the question is, do you support the expansion of outdoor rinks in Brampton for free public hockey and skating in the winter? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no, 3 for maybe. And we're going to share the results once they become available.
Okay, well, the results are pouring in. It looks about 93% support the expansion of outdoor rinks in the city of Brampton. 7% against. And so, you know, recreation amenities that everyone can enjoy are a priority for the city. The fact that these are free amenities for everyone to use is a wonderful thing. Going to our next question, we have Joe Da Silva. Joe, can you hear us?
Mayor Brown, this is Joe Da Silva. Can you hear me?
We can.
Long time, born and raised in Brampton, so well-versed with the city. Think you're doing a fantastic job, and this is a fantastic opportunity for this town hall to share our feedback on recreational topics. Don't really have a question, just more of a shout-out to the fantastic people at the Cassie Campbell facility. My father, who's 80 years old, regularly goes there to do his swims and uses the facility pretty much 4 days a week, and the staff members there treat him fantastic. He goes there on Sundays, pre-books all his swimming sessions for the week, and they're super patient with him, and I just want to say I really appreciate that on his behalf.
Okay, well, thank you for that kind feedback, and hope your father continues to enjoy the facility. Our next question is going to be for Jennifer.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, I want to say this is great. We need to have the community active. So one of my questions was, we have the pickleball courts in, but unfortunately, due to the rain and the weather, there's sand that gets collected. And I find that this could be a concern and a health and safety concern for people, because there are people coming into different neighborhoods to play as well, right? That is one part. And the next one was about healthy communities. There was discussion about the blue ugly wall being utilized to have the opportunity for residents to get involved in artwork. And I'm wondering if there's any update, because we want to get the youth engaged and even seniors or anybody interested, to how we can try to educate communities, even if you have to use those walls to say, how can we keep our parks clean, clear of, you know, thrown glasses or empty bottles or the noise issues that we have in the common areas, right?
Okay, well, thank you for that. And of course, we want to keep our public spaces clean. It's why, whether it's more grass cutting, whether it's more garbage pickup, whether it's removing encampments when they existed, we've been trying to do everything we can to protect the safety and sanctity of public spaces. In terms of your other feedback, our commissioner has taken note of it. Commissioner Boyce, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the question. So just on the pickleball question, our courts are inspected each week and on a regular basis if there's any weather events, to make sure they do stay in top shape. We look at litter removal, the playing surface. We need to get rid of that excess sand and debris. And I think one interesting thing about Brampton, many people may not know, is 2 years ago in budget, there was $1 million addition to our citywide parks beautification project. That is once again kicked off. It started in 25. It's kicked off this year in 2026. And we're seeing a real measurable difference on the upkeep and the cleanliness of our parks, something that we're very, very proud of. I know our director of parks, who's sitting here, our park staff, really take pride in keeping those parks as clean and safe as possible.
And I'll just add, it's Councillor Santos here, the parks beautification project, many residents are noticing a difference. It's really what it is a deep cleaning of some of our parks and playgrounds. They go in there, they go into the crevices of the pavement, they go into the wood chips in the playground, and they really make everything with fine detail. It's like detailing your car. They're detailing the parks and playgrounds. That's what the Parks Beautification Project is, one park at a time.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Santos. We're going to go to our next question, and that's Anthony. Anthony.
Yes, hello, Mayor and team. My name is Anthony, and I do think everybody's doing a good job, and I've noticed big improvements in my neighborhood in recreation and parks, and also parks are doing a good job keeping things beautiful and clean. One area I've noticed and am requesting is for, in this year's budget, maybe we can add some more money for the Etobicoke Creek Trail for beautification enhancements, trail resurfacing, maybe some flower gardens. Just kind of with River Rock coming, we'll need to kind of focus on south of River Rock and north of River Rock just to, you know, beautify and make the trails better. So thank you, everybody.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I think when we see graffiti and we see uncleanliness, we want to clean it up. We want to make sure that we protect the spaces and make sure they're safe for everyone to use. Commissioner Boyce, do you want to just sort of speak to how we're going to keep Etobicoke Creek Trail protected?
Absolutely. So that is one of the areas that our parks beautification will also focus on trails too. So in the past, we may not have got there as much as we wanted to keep them clean, to keep them accessible, to keep them beautiful. That will be happening with those groups this year. We have about 703 kilometers of trails throughout the city beyond Etobicoke Creek Trail, but we are going to make sure that we get to each and every one of them. Another trail that we've put a lot of focus on just in this year's budget is the Brampton-Orangeville Railway Trail, where there was $500,000 added to maintain that space as we get towards future construction to really improve that trail and make it even more accessible. We are starting to maintain it so people can traverse it up and down from the very south border of Brampton all the way to the north border. So we do appreciate the feedback, Anthony, and we will keep an eye on the Etobicoke Creek Trail.
And Anthony, it's Councillor Santos here. So, you know, if you are on the trail like I am every single day, the Etobicoke Creek Trail, you'll realize that in 2023 till 2025, there were a lot of encampments along the trail. And through working with the Region of Peel, our city staff here, security, a really collaborative approach, we've managed to deal with the encampments at that time, and now we have no encampments along the Etobicoke Creek Trail. And to your point, it's now being heavily used again. There's a lot of traffic, whether that's cyclists, people on scooters, there's pedestrians, runners walking their dogs along the trail. And so we are seeing probably a little bit more litter that's going on. And I can tell you that whenever I call the parks team to deal with an issue that I see when I'm there every single day, they're on it. So on top of the daily maintenance of the trail, we are looking at the beautification as well. And I'm so happy you're using it.
Okay. Our next question is from Ruben. Ruben, can you hear us? A question about the NAPSTO program.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ruben, yep. We have you online.
NAPSTO. William Parkway and Whitebirch and Program, Corey and Carlos and Jackie and Matima and Vinder. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to refer to Commissioner Boyce. I think he's a comment here.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ruben. And yes, SNAPSO, a very important program that we have at the Elemental Rec Center on the east side of Brampton, founded in 2005 by a group of parents of developmentally disabled adult children that didn't have anywhere to go at the time. So we do appreciate that is a very important program for so many in the community, for the people accessing it, for their parents and families. So it is something that we take pride in administering, and we'll keep doing our best to provide that program. So thank you.
And we'll look at ways that can be enhanced. But thank you for calling in about it. Our next question is Elizabeth.
Okay. This is actually a comment. As a newly retired person as of January, I am so thrilled that all the programs that I have been able to take advantage of, including great instructions in pickleball, just finished great instructions in golf, and have been able to utilize the different clubs with especially pickleball. And thank you for putting the extra courts at the soccer center. I'm really enjoying them right now. Also wanted to comment on the online booking application. Satisfied with it very much. Had a member at Cassie Campbell put it on my phone for me, showed me how to use it, and it's been working great. I have to say it is almost a full-time job trying to book all the different events that I could take advantage of. So thank you very much.
Thank you for that feedback. that positive experience. Our next question is Justin. Justin, can you hear us?
Hi. Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. And once again, I really appreciate you guys doing these town halls and taking, you know, collecting feedback from residents. So I have a two-parter. I just want to be quick. The first one is I know in the Bramley area, there used to be like a neighborhood membership, and it would apply to residents who wanted an annual pass to specific rec centers. That no longer exists, and it's a full access citywide model now. And just in terms to speaking towards affordability, is there any kind of flexibility or thought? Maybe like let's say a resident wants to just access, like a rec center near them, or like, and not necessarily need the whole thing. I know that there are skating and swim passes that are separate for $229 or so, and I think that's also a good model. But maybe if there's like, you know, a single facility kind of a membership, and we can maybe reduce the cost. That's just something I want to put out there. If we could bring something back like that we used to have. And my second question is regarding outdoor water fountains. We have a lot of trail systems and parks and everything. And when I visit places like Hamilton and Toronto, there's a lot of outdoor fountains. They're modern. They're very modern with bottle filling stations. And, all types of things that we don't have in the city. And I thought that, you know, with recreation, it's something that, it would really help residents. A lot of us carry bottles on our bikes. If I go for a jog around Professor's Lake, filling up, after a workout is great. If we could have something like that, I just want to just put that out there for you guys. Thank you.
Okay, over to Councillor Santos and Commissioner Boyce, who want to speak to this, and great ideas.
Thanks so much, Justin. With respect to the water fountains, we have had conversations already with staff in terms of what Hamilton is using, particularly the technology with the filling of the water bottles, as well as the water at the bottom of the fountain for the dogs. And in fact, I'm hoping that I could use some of my park enhancement money to pilot some of that technology in some specific locations that have dog parks nearby and have existing water infrastructure to support it. Commissioner?
Thank you, Councillor Santos and Justin. We are actively working on this. I know I've been speaking with our parks team. We're really, really investigating that Hamilton model, seeing how we can bring that back. In fact, for something to be implemented this year in some select locations. So my goal is to have that in and operating by the fall, if not earlier, if possible. And just with respect to your question on the membership, I know that was something that was available in the city a number of years ago. I'm going to talk to our director of recreation to take that back and see if there's an opportunity where there could be access just to one location for those that might be interested for a fitness membership. So we appreciate the feedback, and we'll take that back with our team. Thank you.
Thank you. So our next question is Diane. Diane, we have you online. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Great.
I have actually two questions. First being the hours of operation for the Earnscliff Recreation Center for the pool were changed, and we now only have a lane swim from 7 till 8 o'clock in the morning. Can our 6 to 7 o'clock lane swim please be brought back? We now have people, as has been talked about in other questions to you, that are using this to do learn to swim or just doing one of the lanes as being, I'm going to stand here and just swing my arms rather than actually doing lane swimming. The second question is Greenbrier Recreation Center, I understand, is being closed for the summer due to lack of use. Yet our seniors' fitness programs that have been running at facilities such as Balmoral, Century Gardens, wherever, they're being taken away from us for the summer because, of course, you have all of your children's day camps that are taking up the space. Why could Greenbrier not be utilized? It has a humongous parking lot, lots of accessible parking, a ramp to get into the building, and an elevator to be able to access both floors. You could have a lot of your seniors program be put in there rather than trying to get the east end of Brampton, utilizing Knightsbridge, which is too small.
Okay, appreciate that feedback. You've raised a few points here. I'm going to refer it to Commissioner Boyce to respond to. And like I said, we try to amend programming hours to what residents want. And if this is something residents want, of course, we'll look at it. So Commissioner Boyce?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the question. We will certainly take back that recommendation on Greenbrier with our team as we do our operational planning for next year and bring it back at budget time. We appreciate the feedback. Again, that's why we do these town halls, to hear that. And also with respect to the swimming at Earnscliffe, another good point that we will look at the lane swimming there as well. We do have your number here, so if you don't mind, we will be able to follow up with you in the very near future about this. So thank you.
Okay. Just remind everyone, if you want to ask a question, press *3. Our next question is Jagbish about tennis. Jagbish.
Hi.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Perfect. So thank you so much for taking my question. So my question is regarding the lack of tennis facilities in Williams Parkway and the Chinguzi area. So we have requested a tennis court in W.J. Clifford Park with Councillor Santos, and she has done a lot of work on it. It's still yet to finish, so we are waiting on that. So please help us with this tennis court. And otherwise, in general, we have a lack of tennis courts from this area. It's like 4 to 5 kilometers for the kids to go. 4 or 5 kilometers away to a tennis court is like kind of no, because if you go to the Cassie Campbell, it's always full. If you go to even downtown Brampton, it is always full. So we need more tennis courts.
Yeah, so great question. We got some good news for you, and Councillor Santos will share the news. But this really speaks tonight. A lot of questions about tennis and racket sports, and I think we've heard that loud and clear tonight. We want to make sure we have more amenities. So, Councillor Santos, could you share the news about this park? And then to Commissioner Boyce, I want you to share the updates about some of the new bubbles we have coming to the city on tennis for the winter.
Thanks, Mayor Brown, and thanks, Jagdish. It's nice to hear you on the telephone town hall tonight. Thank you so much for being such a strong advocate for the tennis courts at W.J. Clifford Park. I just got a recent update from staff. So because of the long winter conditions and the hot, cold, and, you know, snow dumps all throughout the winter, there were some construction delays because of that. And so I just got a commitment from staff now within 4 weeks or so, the tennis courts will finally be completed at W.J. Clifford Park. And also the playground at W.J. Clifford Park, that playground is also coming as well. But because we had such a long winter, I think we only got higher, warmer temperatures consistently recently, and still they seem to be fluctuating. So because of weather conditions, we're seeing some delays on some of these projects, but it is a top priority for sure. And Commissioner can talk more about the other bubbles that are coming to Brampton.
Thank you, Councillor Santos and Mayor Brown. So the probably the most exciting addition will be later this year at Gore Meadows Community Park, where we have 6 tennis courts under one permanent dome. So that dome will be up year-round for year-round consistent use. There will also be 6 pickleball and 2 paddle courts under another dome, again, under a permanent dome for full use. And then there in the summertime, in the warmer weather, there's outdoor pickleball courts. We have the dome at Cassie Campbell opening up, which has field hockey, batting cages for both cricket and baseball, some space to do some outdoor, whether it's indoor exercise, baseball fielding, different types of activities like that. The Earnscliffe Cricket Dome, first one that I'm aware of that will be open year-round for year-round cricket play later this year. We have the Rosalie Tennis Dome that opened in late 2024, 3 indoor tennis courts. So we have the Ching Park tennis court as well. That is a dome facility open in the winter months. So there's been a real consistent focus on winterizing our amenities so that when it is cold weather, if you're not playing hockey but you want to play some warm weather sports, you can do so in a dome. And there's been real significant investments to make that happen over the last few years.
Yeah, and thank you, Commissioner Boyce. You know, I was speaking to the executive director of the Tennis Canada Open that happens each year in August, and he said, based on all the courts happening in Brampton, we're becoming the tennis capital of Canada. So love hearing feedback like that. We're going to go to our next poll question. And I'll tell you the reason behind this poll question. At Turner Fenton, we did a partnership with the school board to bring on a recreation amenity where we use it at night and weekends, and the school uses it during the day. And I was recently at the Parkway Community Fair, and I saw they've got some recreation amenities there that are very dilapidated. The soccer field you wouldn't even want to touch. And I want to look at going to the province and saying the city's out of space, but the school board has a lot of recreational amenities. Should the city invest in these provincial schools to have shared recreation spaces? Would you like to see us do more of that? We've done two of them, I believe, already now. And so the question is going to be about whether we should do more of that. So, Commissioner Boyce, explain the model, and then Councillor Santos will ask the question. And this is our last poll question, and all these poll questions are based on decisions before us at the city. So we really want to get your pulse and your thoughts on it. Commissioner Boyce.
Perfect. Thank you, Mayor. So, yeah, one thing we really like about this school board partnership is, again, to the Mayor's point, is that schools can use it during the day, we can use it at night, and weekends we look at the Turner Fenton cricket pitch. We look at the Collaborative Learning and Technology Center that we have. We have the Central Peel turf football field. We have a couple tracks throughout the city. We're actually expanding with the one at Louise Arbour Secondary School that will be opening later this year, and there is more planned in the coming years, where it's great because, you know, dollars are hard to come by, and if we put in half the money and the school board does, we can get a great amenity that the community can use both during the day at school and at night and weekends for residents and sports groups. So that is something that we are continuing to work on and we think is very valuable. Councillor Santos, over to you.
All right. So the polling question after that preamble from the mayor and the commissioner, do you support the city investing in underutilized school fields to help bring more recreational opportunities for residents? Press 1 for yes. Press 2 for no. Press 3 for unsure. Again, the question is, do you support the city investing in underutilized school fields to help bring more recreational opportunities for residents? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no, and 3 for unsure.
Okay, let's go back to some questions, then we'll share the poll results. The next question is from Marcia.
Hello. Hi, Mayor and Councillor. Thank you for taking my question this evening. I had a question regarding, and I was kind of discussed a little bit with all of the tennis and racket sports and having domes so they can be winterized for year-round. Is there any plans to do the same for the Chincoosie Park Stadium or the Central Peel Stadium that have the track? There is very few indoor running options throughout the wintertime, as well as for track clubs to practice, and also for football space. So just wondering if there's any plans coming to put a dome over the stadium at Chincoosie Park or any one of the newer facilities that have track lanes.
Okay, well, we can speak to the school board about that. And in terms of existing domes, are there any opportunities for tracks there, like you look at Save Max or the new one that coming to Cassie? I'm going to pass this to our Commissioner of Recreation.
Thank you for the question. One element that will be included, as I mentioned earlier, at Cassie Gamble is the running track and long jump area. We don't currently have plans right now to put a full track. There is some logistical challenges just given the size of the track to put that under a dome, but I think it's a great opportunity to, as we've been talking about partnerships with the school board, to see if there's an opportunity to do something that has more of a focus on track and field, which we are starting to hear that there is demand for, so we appreciate that question.
Yeah, and thank you. There's a number of tracks that the secondary schools in particular have, and this is where I think there's opportunity to partner with them to utilize their spaces when they're not in school. So we did have a partnership with Sandalwood Secondary School as well as Central Peel Secondary School. There's opportunity with Jean Augustine Secondary School as well as David Suzuki. And I know we're making other investments in Chincoosie Park as well.
Thank you, Councillor Santos. We're going to share the results of the poll question. And 84% of residents would like us to do more partnerships with the school board to use our underutilized and sometimes dilapidated school amenities. And it's a great way for the city to get space that we don't have and bring on new recreation for residents. I'm going to go to our next question. Our next question is Brandon. Brandon, can you hear us?
And thank you for taking my question. My question is about novel sports. Things that come to mind for me are, I think it's competitive or ultimate tag. There's a novel sport that has a presence online, but also it's maybe less novel, but maybe sometimes overlooked is MMA. I think with the type of population we have in this region, we have a strong security population as well as a strong or increasing police population. I think Ultimate Tag and MMA are good assets to kind of involve some young people trying to find a sport that may be kind of...
Okay, well, thank you for that suggestion, Brandon. Over to our Commissioner of Community Services, Bill Boyce.
Thank you, Brandon. And we right now don't have any plans for MMA or an ultimate tag. We are going to bring forward in the Torbram Sandalwood Park parkour, which is a new innovative sport that will be opening later this year. And I think that is one of the really interesting things about recreation in general right now is it's always adapting. It seems to be adapting at a rapid pace that some of the traditional sports are giving way to some different new sports and games that come on. So we are constantly looking at this as we do our parks and recreation strategic planning, and we will take that back and keep a close eye on these innovative new developing sports.
Okay. We're going to do one more question before we wrap up. The last question of the night is from Manu Patel. Manu, can you hear us? Manu, do we still have you there? Okay, I think we lost Manu, so...
No, you haven't lost me.
Oh, Manu, okay, we can hear you now.
Thank
you. Okay, Manu, what's your question? Okay, I think maybe we lost...
How come you have reduced the hours of operations in the rec centers?
Okay, the question was about reduced hours at rec centers. Over to Commissioner Boyce, I think there are some days on holidays where there's been some reduced hours to max demand. We want to put resources when people are using the facilities on some days, whether it's Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. There are some days where we just know the demand is more minimal. But Commissioner Boyce, can you speak to how hours have been allocated?
Thank you, Mayor Brown. Thanks for the question. So just earlier this year, we standardized our operating hours across our rec centers. As I mentioned, by doing this, things like the front desk, the building, and the fitness center hours now align. We actually increased hours citywide by about 40 across the city. There was some went slightly down and some went slightly up, but we really do look at foot traffic, attendance, program schedules, how the space is used. So we're constantly wanting to adapt our model of operation to meet the demand of the community. So thank you.
Amanda, thank you for calling in. First of all, I want to thank everyone for taking part in this town hall. 4,730 households participating. To our rec staff, we're all here tonight. Thank you for time away from your families. Councillor Santos, Councillor Power, who have been here all night, thank you for diligently assisting. And let me just say, it's not lost on us when you have this many residents taking your evening to share your feedback with us. It's because you care about the city. And we'll do our best to honor that care and make sure that we take this feedback seriously. So once again, thank you for being part of our first Recreation Town Hall. Based on the participation, I don't think that this will be the last Recreation Town Hall. I think this is good to have. Maybe we'll do this once a year just to make sure that your feedback and your aspirations for recreation in the city are being met. Have a great evening, and I guess I should say good luck, Team Canada. They're playing tomorrow. Sometimes we call them Team Brampton because the team is mostly Brampton, but they're playing Qatar tomorrow at the World Cup, and we hope they'll make our country proud just like they have all along this journey to the World Cup. Have a great evening, everyone.